Hello. Welcome. Hi, Emma.
Hi.
Hi, Marion. Hi. Good time. Good to see you. Hi, Hazel. Welcome.
Yeah.
Jessica, welcome. Rainbow, hello, if you can hear me. Oh, answering through music. Hi, Veronique.
Hello, hello.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Evening.
We'll just be waiting, gathering a few people. We wait until 2 minutes and we'll begin. Selena, hello. Welcome to those who have just arrived, Jeffrey, Jan, Sarah. Hi, Richard. Welcome.
Hello, Peter. Thank you.
Just got a few more people to arrive.
Cool.
The people might come and go, of course. Feel free to have your video on and off. I don't really mind. Whatever feels comfortable. Welcome, Julia, Ellie, welcome. Matthias, Grace, good. We're going to be beginning it very soon. Okay. Good. So let's begin. So welcome to everyone. Welcome to this call. Navigating life, the inner compass. I'm going to be orienting us around what all that means in a minute. I like to begin with just a bit of arriving in ourselves, which I'm going to guide us in. For those of you familiar with practice of focusing, you'll know the spirit of this. Even if you're not, that's fine. This call is open to anyone, so just follow my instructions or do your own thing. It's just allowing ourselves to sort of sense and notice how we are right now, and also how we are in this kind of virtual space. Our body is always alive to what's happening, and so that's what we're tuning into. So I'll be saying a few invitations. Feel free to follow or do your own thing for a couple of minutes. You can have your eyes open, eyes closed, videos on, off, whatever feels right. And probably there'll be a few people arriving in that time too. So yeah, get yourself comfortable or as okay as your body will kind of be right now. Maybe it's not easy that, but getting as comfortable as you can be. And yeah, and beginning to sort of sense and notice your body in its environment. Maybe sensing whatever's supporting you. That's an easy place to begin. The chair or sofa, bed or floor, whatever you're sitting on and supported by. There it is. Let it hold, let it support your weight. Really sensing the connection there, the contact, and allowing your body to be held. From there, you might notice maybe the rest of the edges of your body, your clothes, your skin, your posture. Get a sense of your whole body and the space you're in. Like we're freshly noticing it, saying hello to how we are right now. And then noticing also how it is inside right now, inside the body, and then just in both physically but also feelings and just that qualities of what's it like to be here right now. Maybe there's lots of things there. It's busy or tight or anxious, or maybe it's spacious and feels good, or maybe there's something you're carrying from your day, and it's acknowledging whatever's there for you. There's no right or wrong way to be here. It's just how you are. Just sort of welcoming yourself as you are, even if you're drifting off and you find it hard to pay attention, or you even don't want to feel something, even that is welcome. So just take another half a minute. Okay, and then gradually bringing that to a close. So, welcome to this free seminar. My name's Peter Gill. I'm a focusing teacher. If you don't know what focusing is, I'll let you know about that, and I think it will become apparent in our journey tonight. And our theme really is what I've named the seminar Navigating Life. So how can we use this skill of listening to our inner knowing to help us navigate the all aspects of our life, really, from sort of day-to-day decisions to our sense of direction and intention and longing even, you know. So focusing offers a very, I think, very beautiful and sound methodology to help us attune ourselves to that. So yeah, we're going to touch on a few topics. We're going to touch on what our inner knowing, what inner knowing means. We're going to touch on what makes it hard or difficult to listen to that. I'll talk a little bit about decisions. If we have time, I'll talk about also welcoming our no's, as in our no opposite to yes. What does that mean when we feel no to something? There's lots of richness in that. And I'll say a little bit about focusing. It's an sort of, for those who don't know, an orientation at the end. And yeah, and there'll be a bit of experiential time. I'll guide us in an exercise. There'll be time for questions. Yeah, so that's our evening. And as you can see, I'm recording the call. I'm going to be sharing the audio later on, for those who registered, and then on my website. If you speak and you later realize you don't want to be in that recording, just please let me know by tonight to say, please edit me out, you know, and I'll find you and take you out. But it just so you know, it's only the audio that will be shared. Yeah, inner knowing, that's where I'm going to start. What is inner knowing? I guess an image for this would be, two images come to mind. One would be a compass, an inner compass. My sense is, my experience is that we all have, and I have, if you like, a compass that can guide us towards what feels right and good, and not always easy necessarily, but what feels right for us as an organism and in our life, in our situation. Yeah, we have a compass, or like if any of you know the Philip Pullman books, it's Dark Materials, the alethiometer, which is a beautiful, more intricate piece of machinery, imaginary machinery. It's even more like that. We have that inside of us, a place that we can touch that gives us a sense of, yes, this is the way, or no, this isn't the way. I mean, that's very crudely put, simplistically put, shall I say. And sometimes some people have more easy access to this knowing, and sometimes it's harder for some people. And at different times in our day and life, it can be harder, but typically when we're more triggered and more or traumatized or really struggling to be present, then it's harder to listen to that knowing. If and there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but it makes it harder to listen to our knowing. If you've got a lot of voices, a lot of critical voices, for example, or if we're really stressed, it's very hard to listen to that knowing in us. But it is there. A couple of some examples of how we sense this on our everyday life. Remember maybe when you've looked for a place to live, it could be renting or buying or something like that. And I don't know about you, but almost immediately as you approach the place, perhaps when you've seen the picture in the paper or online or whatever, you're like, oh yeah, maybe. And then you arrive in the house or flat or whatever it is, and you're like, oh no. Like immediately you have a sense of no, this is not it. And or yeah, or like maybe it's like one of those three, but you get an immediate sense, so you don't really have to think about it. It's like available to our body, I think. We might have to think about it, sense into it later, but often there's a very immediate felt sense. We call that a felt sense in focusing. It's an inner knowing. Or it could be decisions around careers and jobs, what you're going to do. So there's often a sense of if you're making a decision about it, a sense of, oh yeah, this would feel right. There's a sense of, even if we don't quite understand it, we might have a sense of, yeah, this is the right way. Or like, no. Even if it looks good on paper, everyone's saying, all your friends are saying, yeah, do it. It's a good opportunity. And you're like, no. So what is that? That is our inner knowing. It's telling us something. And I love this. We have this phrase in our language. We sleep on it. We say, oh, I'm just going to sleep on it. So what do we do when we sleep on something? We allow it to mull over in the background. We allow that inner knowing, I think, that inner knowing to come to the fore a little bit, or give it some time to settle, all the information to feed that. We even have this inner knowing when it comes to what to eat. We might completely ignore it. You'll see in my late newsletter, you'll see a blog around this. But if you've ever been in the supermarket and you're kind of buying, taking stuff off the shelf, and you get to just, I don't know, for me, it's like the snack aisle of all the crisps, and I'm like, I can feel my body doesn't want it. I'm like, it doesn't. I don't really want those big bag of crisps. I'm like, yeah, but they're really nice. Some part of me takes over and puts it in the trolley. And but there's a knowing, a bodily knowing in me that it's, well, that's not really what. It's not nutritious. It's not really what I want. So these are kind of examples of where we might sense this inner knowing, or as Gendlin, you call it. Eugene Gendlin, who's a developer of focusing, calls it a sense of rightness, a feeling of rightness. Yeah, I want to share a quote from Eugene Gendlin. Carry us on. So yes, Eugene Gendlin, if you like, discovered focusing, even though focusing is a natural thing, he articulated it back in the 60s and 70s, really, or even before that, but in terms of methodology. Here's a quote from him. Your body always tends in the direction of feeling better. Your body is a complex life-maintaining system. Often we feel so much wrong that we come to accept those bad feelings as a basic state of things. But it is not. The bad feeling is the body knowing and pushing towards what good would be. The bad feeling is the body knowing and pushing towards what good would be. Every bad feeling is potential toward a more right way of being if you give it space to move towards its rightness. I'm going to put that in the chat. I'm going to read it again because it's so good. Hopefully, it'll fit in the chat. It does. Great. So, read it again. Your body always tends in the direction of feeling better. Your body is a complex life-maintaining system. Often, we still feel so much wrong that we come to accept those bad feelings as a basic state of things. But it is not. The bad feeling is the body knowing and pushing towards what good would be. Every bad feeling is potential energy towards a more right way of being if you give it space to move towards its rightness. Very hopeful kind of, I think, sense, the very holistic sense of what an organism is, what a human being is. It may be challenging to hear that too. There's subtleties and complexities to it, but I think overall this message is that if we have a bad feeling, a no in us, if you like, That's also like connected to his inner knowing. It's also, how do we know what bad feels like if we don't know what good feels like? Imagine plants. You know, plants know what sunlight feels like and water feels like and nourishment. It's very natural to them. And when they don't get that, they feel bad. I mean, I don't know, I've never spoken to a plant directly like this, but you know, you can imagine it might not feel good. And it would want something like, and our bodies have that in all sorts of ways, not just to do with physical needs, but so what doesn't feel good is intricately connected to what feels good, what feels life-giving in us. So I just want to pause there just for a minute, and just any questions about anything I've said, and I'm going to guide us in an exercise around this. But yeah, just maybe about that quote or anything I've said, just feel free to chat the question, feel free to ask the question through speaking. Yeah, just want to pause, take a breath. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, plants grow towards light, and there's really interesting studies about how they can feel the vibration of water, how they move towards water. Generally, in one of his videos, he says we're at least plants. So like we often sort of dismiss ourselves as human beings, but plants are extraordinary, right? And they're incredible living organisms. So we're at least that, and we're animals, or we're social beings. We've got all, but even the intelligence of a plant is pretty amazing, and we've got that. We have that in us. If we listen. So, yeah, this is our inner knowing that helps us to navigate the many, many ways in our life that we have to live. I want to maybe, yeah, guide us in a little experiential exercise to sort of tune in to what this might feel like or what this might have felt like. So, yeah, I'm going to lead us on a remembering and an exploration. I'm going to invite us to remember a time when we sense this yes in our body. Remember a situation that felt yes, good, maybe, and I'll give you a few examples of that. But yeah, it could be like when you got a yes to a place to live or some job decision, or just even just a yes of choosing what to do today, even a yes to this seminar. Like maybe there's a yes, you chose to come here. There's a yes in that, I'm hoping. So we'll tune in to that and then just begin to get a sense of what does that feel like in an embodied way, in a focusing way. And then we'll share what we discovered. Now, I also want to say with every group exercise that I do, for half the people, it just probably just won't work. That's the inevitability of groups. We're all at different places, and you might be really tired, or you've just had a really bad argument with your partner, and like you just can't think of anything. And so, any guided exercise is obviously just bear that in mind and don't take it personally or like, oh my God, I'm terrible at this because I can't concentrate. And I'll kind of say a little bit of this as we go through, but yeah, just be gentle with yourself and follow the instructions if it feels right, and also allow yourself not to if it really isn't working for you. That's okay. And the same as in the beginning, I invite you to have your eyes open or closed. You could turn your cameras off if you want a break from the screen. Yeah, the main thing is to let yourself be comfortable as you can be in your body. So we'll begin there. And as I say, I'll make invitations as we go through this, and let's explore. Let's see it as an experiment into what the body knows about a feeling of rightness that you've had already. So yeah, first of all, just noticing your body then, how it's supported. Particularly the connection to beneath you, behind you, sort of directly with that place and beneath that, the land and earth and all of that holding that is always there, sensing gravity and yeah, sensing a place around you. Maybe it's really known and familiar and a good place. Maybe it's somewhere you're traveling and it's new, but either way, notice it. Just notice where you are, even with your eyes closed. Sensing that. and sensing your skin, your clothes, your posture, this whole body. And then there's that inner landscape, if you like, too, the throat, the chest, belly. Just how it feels inside right now. Just checking in with yourself and acknowledging how you are. Maybe there is something calling to you that wants attention. Don't push it away, some life issue or feeling. Or some ache or pain or worry that might be there. So allowing that to be here, acknowledging all that's there. And sensing the breath within all of that, just as it is. And then inviting you to remember a time when you felt some kind of yes to some decision or some kind of rightness. It could be even the sense of rightness to coming along today or something you did in your day, like choosing to go for a walk or choosing to rest or maybe some big life decision, choosing a job or some kind of occasion when you followed what felt right. Remembering that, and if you come, just choose one of something simple. Or if it's hard to remember, or just notice how you are in your body. The important thing is a kind attitude to whatever's here. So whatever your yes might have been, or maybe it's if it's today or just some big life change or moving house or job, or just get curious. What did that feel like, that sense of rightness in you? Those are my words for it, rightness. But how would you describe it? And if you'd be curious about your body, like what comes even with those words, rightness, a sense of rightness, or yes, or inner knowing. So recalling that situation, or just taking that word, inner knowing, and just sensing what. Comes to you, maybe there's some other words that fit better, or maybe some feeling in the body. Something could be slight or subtle, it could be. Some kind of texture or energy. Sense of aliveness or alertness or something. These are all just my words. Just give yourself time just to be curious about your experience. Huh? What's rightness feel like for you? Or maybe we might be finding ourselves around being the opposite when things didn't feel right. If that's the case, just noticing that, that also might have a quality to it. A kind of, no, that's not right. Like, what's that feel like for you if that's present? Getting curious about the quality in the body or the, how would you describe it? And not worrying if nothing's coming or it's too quick for you or. Just noticing how you are. Or even just tuning in, like I say, to a sense of rightness of coming this evening, that there's something, there's some kind of following, some sense inside of what would be right to do. Maybe just noticing that. Just take another 30 minutes. Okay, and then gradually bringing that to a close. If your eyes have been closed, opening and maybe moving around, stretching. If you've been still. Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear. Whether it's from an exercise or just from your sense in your recollections, remembering in any way, really, what does for you? Does it feel? What does this yes feel like? What's the feeling of rightness? Or inversely, also maybe what bad feels like too in terms of navigating. But either is welcome, really. But what? How do you describe it? If imagine if you had to describe it to someone, and they were like, "What does that? What do you mean when you say it felt right?" How would you tell them? Yeah, right. I'm gonna. So feel free to put it in the chat. Also, speak it out loud. That's absolutely fine. I'm gonna. If it goes in the chat, I'm reading it. Unless it's some sort of private, of course. Yeah, it feels even and calm. Yeah, definitely. There's a sense. That's interesting, isn't it? It feels even and calm. Yeah, aliveness or the feeling when you put a jigsaw. Yeah, that's amazing. A place a big jigsaw piece in it. That's such a good image for it. I have had. I literally had focusing images like that where it's like. My body's shown it to me like a jigsaw bit falling into place. Thank you. I'll come to you in a minute, Hazel. I'll just read a few more comments. Freedom and clarity. Yeah, a sense of freedom and clarity. Yeah, and I'll come back to comments. But Hazel, what? Yes, please share.
Two things, really. One, I think moving into this house or just seeing it and knowing, absolutely just knowing.
Okay, great.
Work out. And he didn't for 6 months. They took it off the market.
Okay.
And then that worked out. And the other thing, I used to work with dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And so there was, I worked with a lot of aggressive dogs. So I trusted my body saying
there we go. Interesting.
A lot more than I trusted my head. And I
could yeah.
time of thinking and thinking, now I'm not safe. When
yeah.
I trusted my body, I was safe.
Okay, so you really learned in that experience to trust your body and not so much. Obviously, you noticed what thoughts there were, but the body was really what. Great, really. That's a really good example of a kind of another kind of in a sense of rightness around safety. Around even if someone says, "Oh, it's safe in a certain place," or that person's okay. If your body's going, "Oh, not so sure," like that's something to take note of, isn't it? Thank you. I'm just going to check on a few more. In the chat, yeah, expansive, not sure if the word is right, but opposite of contraction, yeah, I felt that, an expansiveness and a lifting in my body, softness. Although sometimes I wonder if it's fantasy, yeah, yeah, well, this is, how do we tell the difference? How do we know what's a feeling of rightness or what is an obsession? Or, I'm just using an example, or a kind of compulsion, or a kind of something else. How do we know if it's something else? So that's one of the things I'll be looking at on the course. Groundedness, yeah, expansion, breath, presence, great qualities, really rings true for me. Expand, openness, spaciousness. I had the feeling every time I chose a house, but never really thought about it. Yeah, Right. A lift of energy in my chest, sense of ease and fittingness. Yeah, definitely. And, a dropping down to more stillness. Yeah, there's often a sense, it's funny, isn't it? There's often a sense of stillness that comes when we find the right way. Even if it might be a bit difficult. Even if it might be difficult. I'll give an example of this. You know, a long time ago, I was in a relationship for my wife that I have now. And at some point towards the end of that, it became very, well, what happened was I found out she was having an affair. And my immediate response to my body was calm. I was like, ooh, like, oh, that's what's going on. Like, I could just feel something was not okay. And I couldn't put my finger on it until the truth was there. When the truth was there, which I think is some kind of alignment, some kind of inner knowing. My inner knowing, we all along was saying something. Oh, and when I heard that, boom, everything calmed down. I mean, later other feelings came. In that particular moment, it was like, yep. I thought, what really, it was kind of relief. It's actually a relief to know the truth. So even if things are difficult, there's a sort of sense of calmness. Yeah. Feeling like in a big, comfortable chair, stable, lovely. Heart opening. A feeling of something behind me, even in my back, like a nudge. Wow. Nice. I love that. It's like then that word that came to me as I was writing this seminar was alignment. Like we align with something. Now, what that something is mysterious, but it's absolutely felt. You know, we're aligning with our own values or aligning with something bigger or both, or all of those things, a sense of alignment. Anyone else got anything to say, either in the chat or in person around this? Yeah, it's great descriptions here of this quality of rightness. And of course, you know, we have the opposite, which I sort of you might have been experiencing, or might, you know, when we feel the opposite of that, a sense of no and a sense of this isn't right. But before we get into that, I will touch on that a little bit if we have time. I just want to touch briefly on what, and this is just more a question for everyone right now, like what makes it hard to sense this for you? You know, like maybe this all sounds great, doesn't it? Wouldn't it be great if this was all present all the time in the chat? You know, yeah, great expansion, calmness, feeling of rightness, but it's not always like that, is it? You know, like, so what is it that makes that gets in the way? Let's call it, what makes it hard? What kind of experiences or things in you make it tricky? Feel free to put it in the chat or to speak it. What are the obstacles to this, you could say, that you can just think of, just rattle them out and see what comes.
Yeah, people.
People, who said that?
Yeah.
I don't know who it was now. Oh, at least, yeah, people we have like it. I'm hoping not all people all the time, but sometimes, yeah, people can, yeah, other people's stuff, especially the people that kind of get in your process, giving you advice or in whatever way. Yes, people, great, thank you. Overthinking, yeah, sometimes, I mean, that is that thing we get into overthinking, don't we? My head, yeah, what we call our head. Poor head gets such a bad name, doesn't it? But yeah, our process of cognitive thinking, trying to work it out, can make it really hard to sense that more deeper knowing. Yeah, Ellie, do you want to share?
Yeah, quite a similar just in like not trusting myself and then trying to convince myself I should like there's rational reasons why I should say yes to something.
You're right.
Feels like a no.
Yeah, we can feel the difference, can't you, between there's a no somewhere or and the opposite or whatever it is, and the head is saying yes, or no, and yeah, and you can feel it. That's right.
Also, if you've made a decision before that you had a good feeling about, but it didn't go well, and
Yeah.
you think, oh, I had a good feeling about that other thing, and look how that went. So now I'm not so confident in my good feeling.
Yeah, no, I
Something
get
like
that. Absolutely. Yeah, no, it gives us
that.
really, it doubts ourselves, don't we, when if it's gone wrong for us. Yeah, that's tricky. I understand that. Yeah, Aja, you guys.
Sometimes when it's like I should be doing this, or there's a that sort of choice, and I think I'll do that. My body suddenly drops energy,
Oh, okay.
and
Yeah.
it really feels no, that's not what I should be doing.
So that's how you can tell, is your body, the energy kind of goes, that something's not
And sometimes, you know, there's a solar plexus upset about things, but that's very often because there's too many things and it's not right and I'm not centered. But that thing of just, you know, if I do that, that's really going to take energy away.
Yeah, right. That makes sense. Thanks. Yeah, yes. Yeah, I'm just thinking about this thing that the previous person said around when we've made the mistake before, we've made a decision we thought was right, and then it hadn't gone well. Yeah, that's tricky, isn't it? I just feel like I want to respond somewhere. It's something around self-forgiveness and around, then we didn't know, maybe it was the wrong, maybe we thought it was right and we didn't have enough information or something like that. What I'm trying to say is, well, if I feel that, and I'm also sense that inner knowing is available freshly, even though that it might have gone wrong before, that the body can offer something right now. It doesn't necessarily offer everything, but it offers some piece of information for us that's really helpful. And taking care of those parts of us that have been wounded or damaged or hurt by previous decisions. Yeah. Hazel.
I held that in a charity and there was somebody came to it and I would have lent her some money. She was really, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I would have been quite happy to. And then she didn't contact me for me to give it to her. And then 3 months later, she was on the front page of the local paper being done for fraud. And it was a really strange feeling because I totally trusted her.
Yeah.
And she didn't rip me off. It was very strange. That's the first time I've always trusted my things about people. And a very odd one.
Then you got a different message. Yeah, right. Interesting. I'm just going to check in with the comments here. Yeah, fear of making a mistake. Yeah, so we have... Definitely. That might come with overthinking, mightn't it? We get caught up in, if I do this and then it will go wrong, and if I do that, it will go wrong, or what if this happens, or what will they say? And, it can be really difficult. Not trusting oneself. Yeah. It's particularly difficult, you know, when we've been brought, which many of us have, we've been brought up in contexts where we're taught to override our yes and our no in us. I speak specifically of being a child and also being in education. Most systems don't, you know, like if you got a no to something, it's like, doesn't matter, do what you're told, you know. But we haven't, you know, that no is really important to us. And if that's just overridden all the time, then it makes it much harder as an adult to really sense that. Times when we're not connected to ourselves, when we're rushed, too much doing mode. Definitely we can't listen to ourselves when there's a lot going on. You know, we live in a world where there's a lot coming at us, you know, really at so many levels, just in terms of information, you know, it's just hard to kind of make space in a very simple way, you know, when there are too many options. Yeah, definitely. I'm sure you've all been to again, the supermarket, you know, go to the supermarket, I'll come on some shampoo. And I'm like, there were like 20, 30 different types, ridiculous amount of choice. Like, can I just have one, please? We're offered so much choice, and it gives us, actually doesn't make us feel free at all. Anyway, a little rant there. What about when you really want it and it feels right, but the other part is backing off, finding reasons not to? Yeah, it's confusing. So here's I'll come to that in a minute, because that's what I want to talk about, I want to just first of all acknowledge what we could call parts. In focusing language, or if you come across internal family systems or many other approaches, you know, we have parts of ourselves, parts of us that get scared, that get anxious, that get worried. And those parts aren't all of you. They are a part of you. This is why the word part fits. There are something in you that feels scared, something in you that's fearful of making a mistake, something in you anxious to get it right, something in you impatient, you know, and these are all parts, and they're fine. You know, we can, I guess to really sense that deeper knowing, often we have to acknowledge that level of our experience. All the different parts of us have opinions, and worries about what's going to happen, and listen to them. It's like focusing as a practice that encourages a real big welcoming of all those parts of us, all those voices, all those feelings. And we listen to all of them in turn, and then we might be able to sense what's underneath. If we try and push through those, particularly if we push past parts of us that are worried or fearful or have got some kind of no to something, then we might get in trouble. So, but what often gets in the way, I can say we're different parts of us, really. Particularly, parts that are scared and critical are the most are hardest to work with in this way. But yeah, there is a way which focusing really has some great methods to work with, and we can work and listen to these parts, and kind of once we've listened to them often, a space clears, or you can feel that sense of rightness. So just let's just look at this question from Hydra. What about when you really want and it feels right, but the other part is backing off? Well, what we've got there is some kind of two processes. And for me, I would always get curious about both of them. There's a sense of yes, it really feels right. I don't know, maybe it's a new relationship or something for some reason that comes to mind as an example. So I'm not in that situation myself, but it's like, but something needs backing off. Like, no, it's digging its heels in, and it's like this saying no. Like, so, oh, okay. You might be, it's tempting to maybe to get bullying with that, or like get harsh with it, but how to get curious? What's it like? What's that no? What's that kind of backing off feeling like? Really listen to it. Like, really listen to it as if you've never heard it before. That's what I would do, and be get curious. Wow, what is that? Why does it want to back off? Maybe it's scared. Oh, maybe it wants to protect me. Oh, it wants to protect me. There's always more under the surface. This is focusing really points to this truth. So there's more beneath any surface feeling that we have, particularly our nose. When we have a no to something, I think it's a great opportunity to be curious. Yeah, does that make sense, Sarja? And anyone else? So if we have something in us backing off, then yeah, that's something to listen to.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm going more deeply into it.
Yes, yeah, getting curious about what that backing off is. Self-judgment, self-critic, yeah, in reference to others, when in truth we can only find our best, yeah, be our best self, exactly, yeah, that can definitely get in the way. I wonder if love at first sight is a yes. Oh yeah, not in my experience. But depends, it could not be. I mean, it depends what one's experience of that process is, but we can that's one of the, let's say, that's one of the situations where we can get taken over by a part of us. So just think, this is it. This is the one. They're going to make this is it. They're going to make everything all right. This is going to be perfect for every, and yeah, obviously, reality hits at some point in that process. But that can only blind us to the real, to the person that's already there. But yeah, but that's not the only, some love at first sight is deeper than that. So I'm not going to speak for all experiences of that. But we can get very, I guess I will say, we can get taken over by parts of us very easily. And those parts of us might be really anxious or really desperately longing for something and ignore all other parts of us. That's definitely been my experience. Great. That's brilliant. It sounds like you had a really good experience, and just, yeah, it doesn't mean that it was always wrong. Yeah, love at first sight could be just an intuitive yes. This is the person. This is a yes. So yeah, but it could be get yeah, could get it wrong. So I want to share something around decision making, and just give you a little tip, which is, and I'll go further into this in the course, but I want to share it with you now because I found it so helpful. So focusing with decisions, using this inner sense of rightness with decisions, or this bodily knowing for decisions. So it's particularly around when we have a decision of a yes, a kind of an A or a B kind of situation. Should I do this thing or do that thing? Should I go to this course or should I go to that course? Or, for example. Or this location, or that place, or this house, or that house. So you've got kind of two or more choices. So I want to say a bit about how we can use our bodily knowing to help with that decision. And what helped me so much was to basically stop asking myself, "What do I do?" stop asking myself that question, pause with that question. Like, we often, when we're stuck in this, what do I do? What do I choose? What do I choose? What do I choose? And instead, give each direction a chance to be felt in the body. So I mean by that, I mean, you imagine yourself doing A, imagine yourself doing course direction A, whatever that might be, a house or a tour. Really imagine it. What would it be like to do that course? And imagine the place and the people and the curriculum. I'll just give you an example, and get a feeling in your body like, oh yeah, what comes? It's like, oh yeah, I could feel there's a sense of lightness or aliveness, or yeah, you know, some doubts, I'm not sure there, but there's definitely, and then just feel it, feel the quality that comes when you imagine just one situation. And then pause. And you might do that for 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and then pause. And then do the other situation. And you get the feel of that. What does your body know about that? And it's like, oh, this is different. This is like a bit more, there's not so much life in it, but it feels more sensible. Okay, that's the feeling in my body. Like, you're checking the word sensible. Like, well, it's kind of more bland. And often we get a sense that one is calling to us more than the other. One feels more right. And this works because we're allowing the body to gather a felt sense of this situation, this direction. And that's just less information for the body to, our being to kind of get its head around. Like, if you just ask it, what do you want to do? It's like, it's sometimes like, oh, would you like to do, what would A be like? And what would B be like? And we can get a feeling of it, our body, much more easily. So I found this really trustworthy method to work with when I've got that. Even if it's just like, shall I go out tonight or shall I stay in? And like, I'm just imagining going to, oh yeah, there's a feeling of a kind of yes to that, even though it's a bit difficult and a bit challenging. And I want to go. Yeah, I want to do that. Or like, oh no, actually what comes now is I really need rest. I need rest. When I imagine myself staying in, there's a really nice feeling of relaxing. And that's what my body needs. So you can give, even with everyday decisions, you can do this. So just imagine one, get a sense of it, and imagine the other, get a sense of it. And the last tip around this, and I'll pause there, is if neither of them feel right, then maybe neither of them are right. Simple, sounds ridiculously simple. Sometimes we give ourselves two choices, and it's like, but neither of them feel right. Well, who is it that says either of them should be right? Maybe there's neither of them are quite what you need right now. Maybe there's something else. Maybe there's a third option you've not thought. Maybe you need more information. Maybe now's not the time. It could be all sorts of reasons why it doesn't feel right, but pay attention to the sense that when you imagine it, each scenario, there's no yes in your body. If there's no yes, then, well, get curious. So, yeah, that was a little piece around A versus B decisions, taking each in turn and getting a sense of it. But I want to, yeah, pause, check again around questions around that. Wonderings, please. Anything is any questions are valid here. There's no too obvious or anything like that. That makes sense, the A versus B approach. Great. What if they both feel right? Oh, well, then you've got a good situation, I think. You know, you've got two possible yeses. That's great, isn't it? Two yeses to deal with. I guess, you know, we can't. Marshall Rosenberg, somebody you might know, and the NVC teacher said, well, you can't meet all of your needs at the same time. Sometimes you just have to make a choice. Like, okay, well, I'll do this and then I'll do that. If they both feel right, then I guess it's a when. Maybe there's some kind of when around that we might have to feel into. But yeah, it's better than, it's a nice situation, maybe a nice, an easier situation perhaps to be in when we've got many yeses. I mean, I have that with, you know, I have loads of ideas about work, and what I could do, and we can't possibly do them all. So I've got lots of yeses on the shelf over there, kind of literally. And like, okay, well, I'll get to them. But yeah, we've only got one being and one body to be in. But I'd love to chat a little about no's, talking about what we normally have a no. Oh no, what's a no? About a no. Because I've come to really value no's. Often they're a bit awkward, aren't they? that are difficult to say. I notice that a lot in people. In fact, sometimes I get a lot of inquiries, and I might ask someone to get back to me, and they don't want to say no, I don't want to do this course or whatever, even when I've asked them very directly. And it's hard. And I get that. It's hard to say no. You think people will be offended, and there's all sorts of stuff around other people's response to no. But what I want to talk about now is more like how we have many different kinds of no. A no could come from a part, and a no could come from a holistic sense of no, like an all your organism saying no. And there's a difference. So I get like a no could be like this a no could have a more of this sense we talked about earlier, actually spaciousness of calm, of like, no, it's not right for me. This doesn't feel right, this direction, this no. Someone might offer you a job or some possibility, or and you're like, no, I'm not, there's a no with that. And even if it looks great, like I say, on paper, even if it's perfect. And then there's a no that's like, I'm scared someone might not like me, or like the no could come from a part of you that's like a bit worried or a bit scared or a bit challenged. It's definitely been like that with maybe workshops I've been to or retreats, and I'm driving there or something, and I'm hoping there's going to be like an earthquake or an accident. Because some part of me is like, I don't want to go on this. It's going to be way too challenging. I'm waiting for the road to collapse or something. And that's my no manifesting. But then the no is from a part of me. It's just that part of me that's scared, normally a younger part, but it's some kind of uncertainty, and you know, I can take care of it. And a very different kind of no to that kind of global no. It's like, no, this isn't the right thing. Yeah, so the hardest thing about no is coming to terms of disappointing people. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I get that. Really do, yeah. We have to learn to live with that kind of whatever that is in us. Sometimes it can be very hard to some people. It's for me. I hate not being liked, for example, or some part of me does, or disappointing or upsetting somebody. I avoid it a lot, but actually sometimes it's much better. I wish I'd have said no earlier, because we can get ourselves into trouble. So yeah, I think a right no can feel the same as a yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? The no, if it has the same quality to what we spoke about earlier up in the chat, there's a kind of feeling of spaciousness, or kind of, I don't know what it is, it's a feeling of a yes, even though it's a no, because it's an alignment with what feels true for you and your organism. Yeah. Pausing there, anything around, get curious about this, about when you have a no again, like, what's it like? What's it telling you? What does it feel like? We have no at the surface, and there's always information. So focusing is really this practice of getting below the surface of our experience, sensing beneath. Okay, there's a no, and then what's underneath? Brings an unknown rightness. Yeah, there we go. Thanks. Any questions? Pausing there. Yeah. I don't know if I say your name, Shyama. Forgive me. Do you want to unmute yourself?
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. Sorry, I did come very late, so my apologies for that.
No worries,
so,
that's okay.
And I wish I can actually hear. Is there a recording?
There will be, yeah. I will share that afterwards with you. We'll get a link
to
that.
Okay, because for the little that I've seen, it's a very fascinating area that we are discussing, I think, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, focusing and attention.
Yes.
And it's one of the real hard things to do, and we have to grapple with it almost all our lives, you know.
Sure.
Right, from childhood to onwards, you know. different times, different kind of issues we are grappling with. But what I wanted to do, and I've heard of this internal family system that I haven't started,
yes.
And it's just inspirational that you talk about the parts.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, oh yes, now it's the time. So my basic question, which I'm saying between yes and no, is almost like we have two very strong elements within each one of us. That's my own belief. It might be totally wrong, so please, I'm happy to be corrected. One is the head part, you know, which does a very systematic way of inquiry.
Yes.
Before it makes any decisions. And the other one is the almost that very heart level, which is so much of instinctive. And I think that's what you're saying. The body seems to know. You have a gut feeling.
That's right. That's right.
Isn't it? So it's almost like two big parts to ourselves. One is the head telling you something and the heart. And I just know that this is two very strong elements.
Exactly.
So here I have kind of recently retired as being a GP. And so it's very strange. There's a part of me, I've been so used to sort of updating my medical knowledge all the time.
Yes, right.
Now I don't have to. Part of it, of course, I continue doing it. Well, the other part is, what else is there in the world, you know? And that's how I'm here with this group, you know? So part of it is like headlong going into subjects which has always fascinated me: history, philosophy, and religion, and you know, just so many subjects out there. The other part is saying, "You mad woman, why don't you stay put, consolidate what you already know?" That's a much better. But this, my gregarious sense, I'm missing people in my general practice. You can see that, you know. Hence, I'm here in this very beautiful company, you know, where I can listen to people and just have a conversation. So, how do you, are these two principal parts, or am I getting it wrong? You know, the head and the heart.
I mean, I think that's, thanks for sharing that. I mean, I think that's how we experience it, you know, and, people often speak, you know, but our language has this embedded in it, this idea that we listen to our heart or overthinking it. You know, we've already in a way touched that. I think you're speaking to a very powerful kind of, I don't call it a duality, but a kind, not even a model, but a kind of a way we experience ourselves. And yeah, focusing as a practice is about listening to what our body knows. But it also doesn't mean we don't listen to what, you know, that all that meant the mind and our thinking isn't something we ignore. And it's not like, oh, I'm just going to throw all that away. But it's what we're adding in. Like, it's a source of information. This is what I see. It's like, if we've lived with this as a source of information for too long, we lose touch with this more of an embodied sense. So that's what we're adding into the mix. And it's a very powerful thing to add into the mix. Because it brings a whole different level of
and somewhere
information.
It must align. You've used the word alignment.
Yes.
Somewhere the two must somehow.
Yeah.
Align.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
there's some kind of alignment. Yes. I mean, I agree. I mean, what's happened to me ever practicing this for 20 years is I don't feel I have that battle so much around head and heart anymore.
Okay.
Wow. So and other focuses I know would say the same. We don't. Something becomes more aligned as a whole. So that's kind of a pause there. Yeah. But thanks for that question. Yeah. I'd love actually the opportunity to say a tiny bit about focusing for those who are new, just to give a bit of orientation. So what do I want to say? Yeah. So focusing is a very natural thing that many of us have already. It's this capacity to listen to what our body knows. So I want to say it's a natural thing. It's already active in some place in your life. And it's a practice you can learn, and one that I teach. And you can practice it solo. You can practice it in dyads. It's very typical to have a focusing partnership where there's two people, one listening and one focusing. It's a very beautiful way of exploring the practice. You've got an observer and a kind of companion. As a practice, it can be mixed in with other things. You might have even come across it mixed in with therapy or with some. So you might have been mentioned on a course you've done. Like it gets kind of coaching, or it gets embedded in all sorts of good ways in lots of other approaches. So it mixes very well in that way. And you can apply it to, you know, working with dreams, working with decisions, working with emotional troubles, with trauma. You know, it's because it's about the body. It's about what the body knows. So it's a really useful piece to put in. For me, it was like a big missing piece of the puzzle when I came across it. Like, right, I have a body and it knows something. I'm not just a thinking organism, you know. So focusing is the sort of both the way of being and a practice of listening to that. And it's what I teach. It's my life is teaching that to people through courses online, sometimes in person. And I have a course coming up on Navigating Life. So I want to very briefly say that I will send out some information. But yeah, that's around all these topics. It's a 4-week course. You don't have to know focusing to show up. It's completely for anybody. Complete beginners, you just have an interest in this topic, and it's really facilitated through some guided processes like tonight, but except a bit longer, through discussion, smaller groups, some handouts, explorations together as in large groups. So yeah, that is an online course, 4 evenings, starting on March the 5th. But I will send you an invitation to that as well later. But every now and again I do these courses. I call them easy access, open to all, sort of a pretty low cost. You know, the concessionary rate is £45. If that's too much, let me know. So there's not a big outlay. You won't necessarily learn all of focusing, but you'll learn this piece of it, and you'll be able to really dive much more deeply into all these topics around how to use focusing to navigate your life. So that's what I've got coming up, and I'm aware of time, so I'm going to end the official seminar now. I'm going to stop the recording. If you have to go, please go. But I'm going to hang on a couple of minutes for any last minute questions about